This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your Stanley Cup champions. Joining me, as always, we have Coach Dan, who listens to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, Satchel, and last week's episode on YouTube. Coach Dan, I mean, what was your favorite version?
None of them.
Come on, you're a big Satchel fan.
I still have no idea what that is.
Well, it is almost July. We just got through the draft of the NHL, and we're finally going to be doing our What the Puckies, which we usually do in about mid-May, but it's a little bit later this time around. But we have a special guest joining us as well. You know him. He's a good friend of the show. He's been here a plethora of times before. We got Ryan Drury. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing very well, guys. Obviously, doing a lot better that, you know, now that the Capitals finally are Stanley Cup champions after waiting all my life, finally they got it done. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
You know, we're feeling about the same as you. We're pretty fantastic since the Caps won the Cup. You know, there are those times I have a bad day at work in the last month or so, and then I'm like, you know what? The Caps are still Stanley Cup champions, so it can't be that bad of a day. So, Ryan, we went over this a couple weeks ago, but since this is the first time we've talked to you since it happened, what was Game 5 like for you? What was that night like for you when they finally won the Cup? You can watch my video on our Facebook page and YouTube. I was at Jimmy's Famous Seafood kind of watching the last few minutes. Dan was doing his thing. What were you doing for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final?
You know what's really funny is I actually had to work.
Oh, no.
But it worked out really good because up here in Ontario, in Canada where I live, there was just recently a really big provincial election, and we had a number of high-ranking government officials that were running in our area next to the radio station I work at. So I actually had to go in to work at 5 o'clock at night and sit there and track voting polls and call people and get updates. What's great, though, is that my boss is a spectacular guy, and we have a big screen TV in the newsroom where we frequently have sports on, and I didn't miss a second of the game. So despite being at work and having to remain moderately professional until the last 5 minutes, that's how I experienced Game 5. I really wish I could have been here and watched it with my girlfriend, Kate, who you guys would be familiar with. Kate is the girl that Russian Machine ran a story about from last season's playoffs. She was that girl in the middle of Maple Leaf Square that was just alone with her friend there when the Caps won in overtime.
Oh, wow.
And there were those two random girls at the front. The one on the left is my girlfriend, Kate. She's a huge Caps fan. But I watched it at work, and when Lars Eller scored, by that point, we already knew how the election was going to shake out. And my boss, God bless him, Steve, he was like, you know what? Let's shut this down. We got to watch this. And and then 5 minutes later, I cried tears of joy in front of my boss.
Completely understandable. I think we were all there, you know, not with our bosses, but those tears of joys were definitely shared all over the place. So that's great to hear. I mean, Caps, you know, it was unbelievable. It really was. It was such a great night watching the Caps and watching Ovi finally hoist that cup. But let's get down to business. Coach Dan, DSP has re-signed with the Capitals. It's a one-year, $1 million deal. He said that he got offered a year, 2 years at other places, but he likes it here in Washington. He wants to stay with this team. What do you think of this re-signing of DSP?
I'm surprised we're starting with this one. I feel like this was a big deal, but more from a fan favorite aspect of things, not so much for on the ice, at least not during the regular season. But we can start with Smith-Pelly. I was not overly surprised. I admit that I was a bit shocked at first when they're like, they didn't offer him a new deal or qualified him an offer, whatever the terminology is I'm supposed to be using. And I was like, And then I read the piece from Isabel Kershutian, and I was like, oh, Right, because that could end up actually costing them an S ton of money. And while they're able to move out Brooks Orpik and free up a ton of cap space, they don't have like a, you know, $30 million to play with. So it made sense to do that. They end up bringing him back, and I was really happy to see that not only that he's back, but he took, it looks like, less money and less in terms of years and stability to remain with the Caps. So I thought that was a really great thing. I'd like to see a little bit more from him in the regular season, but I suppose one thing at a time.
I mean, he was – I'm a little bit torn because, yes, Devontae Smith-Pelly had an absolutely great postseason, and he was there. He was clutch. He was there when you needed him. However, when Tom Wilson got suspended, they moved DSP up to that first line, and he didn't do too well. It seemed as if he maybe wasn't as versatile a player as we thought he could be. It seems as if, like, you know, when – you know, your big chance happens, it feels as if he kind of blew that a little bit. But at the same time, he's also one of the heroes because he's got, you know, how many goals in the Stanley Cup final and you know, was one of the guys that, you know, you never knew what was going to happen. So, Ryan, what's your thoughts on this deal? Do you think that bringing Devontae Smith-Pelly was the right call?
Oh, absolutely. I have no problem with the deal. I mean, let's be honest here, even if it was for a little bit more money, it's a one-year deal. I mean, you know, what is the danger in this? Let's remember here, this is a guy that got bought out by the New Jersey Devils when he was making only $1.3 million. That tells you a little bit about what a former team thought of this guy. You know, you don't see a lot of guys getting bought out that are making less than $2 million. They didn't even want to give this guy an opportunity. There's that great story, I think, that Isabel Kershutian ran post-Cup win, where prior to that, he was in Montreal after, I believe, starting in Anaheim, and he so badly wanted to remain a Montreal Canadian, and when they traded him, he was devastated. I mean, he was in tears going to the airport to head to New Jersey. Like, this is a guy that you need to bring back. You know, you see what he did in the regular season. I mean, yeah, you know, they tried him on the top line. He doesn't fit, but he does fit within the team. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he fits on Alex Ovechkin's right wing. I really don't care. He fits within the fabric of this team, though. We don't win the Stanley Cup without this guy. He scored 3 goals in 3 straight Stanley Cup final games. I mean, you know, this guy's all heart. And what have I said for years now? I mean, the last couple times at the end of the year when I've come on this show with you guys, what have I said? I mean, the star players usually show up and play moderately well to good, especially Ovi. Our depth guys were never there. That's why we lost to Pittsburgh all the time, because we didn't have the guys in the bottom six that were getting it done. DSP did that. He earned it. He probably deserved more than $1 million, but it shows the character and how much he loves this team, where he took less money and probably less term. I bet you there were teams out there that were probably offering him 2 or 3 year deals, and he took a 1 year deal to bet on himself and stay with this team. And, you know, watching the quest for the cup series that the NHL did, all the insider access, like, Ovi loves this guy. I mean, he fits into the fabric of this team, and I'm thrilled that he's going to come back.
Yeah, I am as well. And like you said, I actually really agree with what you said, that, yeah, he might not fit on that top line, but he does fit on this team. He is an important aspect of this team. He definitely was a clutch player when you needed him to be. So having him come back, and at such a low rate, I mean, that really shows what dedication he has to the team. I mean, he came into training camp almost not even making the team at all. So for him,
yeah.
And, you know, maybe as a bonus, you know, to kind of equal out that $1 million, was that he got to keep that WWE belt, because he was carrying that thing around for the parade the entire day. Wouldn't let anybody else hold it. But other big signing, John Carlson was re-signed. Ooh. You know, he's a big deal. He's somewhat of a big deal. So what is it, 8 years, and then it's $8 million per year, I believe. Coach, yep. Dan, this is a homegrown talent. We saw him in Hershey. We saw him grow with the Capitals. He was an Olympian back when the Olympics were in Sochi, 4 years ago. So what does it mean to have John Carlson back on this team? He seems as if he's one of the veteran guys now, and he kind of holds your defense together. I mean, obviously he was the top priority for Brian McClellan this offseason to re-sign and to get him even before he hit free agency. That's got to be a big deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, to go and be able to sign him, he would have liked to get it done a little bit sooner for a little bit of the nerves for everybody, but they're still able to get a deal done. I'm a little concerned. I'm not so much concerned about the money. I think he could have gotten that, if not a little bit more, on the open market. But I do think that the number of years has me a bit concerned. And it kind of reminds me, and this is going to be a little bit of a reach in terms of comparisons, but it does remind me a little bit of the Brooks Orpik deal, where the first couple of years you're like, yeah! And then towards the end, you're going to be like, oh, God, how do I get out from under this one? Because at the end of his – I think he's 28. So at the end of his deal, he's going to be 36 still with a cap hit of 8 million. I mean, who knows what happens in the next lockout, which I'm sure is coming around the corner one of these days. But it kind of makes you wonder, like, this could come back to bite them a little bit in terms of years. But I guess in this NHL, you have to be able to sacrifice some things to be able to keep guys like John Carlson around. So they went out and they made the big move to bring him back, and – I think that, and then the Smith. I was surprised Smith Pelly was the next one. I'm a little concerned about Michael Kempney not coming back, but right now I think you know McClellan's doing a good thing. He got Carlson back. He's got Smith Pelly back. The man's making moves.
Well, from what I understand, they have sent out offers to Tom Wilson to do like a 5-year deal with him, and they have sent out a deal to Michael Kempney, but things are still being ironed out, I guess, as to whether or not they're going to re-sign. But
yeah, I saw those two.
It seems as if Kempney is going to come back. Ryan, how good was John Carlson this season? He kind of switched around of who he was playing with, but it really seemed as if he kind of gelled with Michael Kempney when he came in. What do you think of that pairing?
I loved the pairing. I mean, it was kind of a situation of two guys at opposite ends of the spectrum. John Carlson, let's be honest here, he's been a really good defenseman for a long time. This year, he took a step forward and became a great defenseman. I mean, you know, you don't lead the NHL in scoring from the blue line just on luck. And it's not just because he gets to pass to Ovi on the power play. This guy makes excellent passes out of his zone. He's very aware of, you know, where the forecheck is coming. He's able to read forechecks really well. He has established himself firmly as a top pair defenseman. And like you guys said, he would have got more money on the open market. Of course, it's a concern when you give a guy a long-term deal, but the fact of the matter is this is sports, and when you're winning and you're doing good things now, you worry about what it's going to look like later. I personally don't care about 8 years from now. We've seen in the NHL with some of the contracts that have been dealt around that anybody can get traded away. I mean, the Arizona Coyotes are paying Pavel Datsyuk and Chris Pronger to not play for them. Chris Pronger's in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's getting paid by the Arizona Coyotes to work for the Florida Panthers. It makes no sense. So I'm not worried about 8 years down the line and us going, oh, no, what about moving this guy's cap? They can move him. But for right now, he's excellent. As far as Kempney goes, I mean, you know, talk about an unreal addition. Like, when they picked him up at the trade deadline, I kind of said to myself, okay, yeah, like he could maybe at best play in the top four. He'll probably play on the bottom pair. But he developed a great relationship with Carlson, and they're one of those classic D pairs where it's yin and yang. Carlson is able to wheel the puck a little more and get involved offensively. Kempney was very solid at the back, and man, he took some punishment in the playoffs too. Like, he got flattened from behind in that Tampa series by Gord, I believe. That was a brutally dirty hit, and I can't believe it wasn't a suspension. That was a joke. And he got tripped and fell head first into the boards in the Vegas series too. Like, this guy, you know, he turned into a really reliable warrior. And, you know, sometimes you look at these guys that aren't overly flashy and get a lot of points and you think, what's the value of this guy? But, you know, it's kind of like a couple years ago with Ottawa, believe it or not, when they were good. Erik Karlsson was playing on the top pair with Mark Methot. Like, Mark Methot's never been a guy who's like, he's certainly not a very fluid skater. He's not very useful offensively. He'll never play on a power play at the pro level. It's not his game. But what he does do is he allowed Erik Karlsson to roam around the ice and get involved a little more. They developed a chemistry, and sometimes it's not always about going, we've got a 40-point defenseman on the left side, we've got this 50-point guy over here, let's just put them together because, yeah, they score points. It's about how guys feel with each other, and very clearly, John Karlsson has a relationship with Michael Kempney on the ice that worked out great.
Yeah, and I hope we get to see those two work together a little bit more. I was really impressed with both of them this year. It seems as if another one for John Karlsson to re-sign here was, I mean, he has built a life in D.C. That's where you know, he met his wife. They have kids now. You don't want to uproot them. I mean, it just makes sense for him to stay there. So he may have taken a little hometown discount, and I'm happy he did. John Karlsson's an absolutely fantastic talent, and it's he definitely makes this team stronger. So we're going to continue to talk here a little bit. The NHL draft, wrong sport league. The NHL draft happened just this past weekend, and the biggest move the Capitals made was they made a deal with Colorado, and they traded away Philip Grubauer, and they also traded away Brooks Orpik, which I got that text message as I was driving home from Coach Dan, and he's like, they traded Orpik, he's gone. I was shocked. I didn't think anyone would take on that contract. But it seems as if what we know now, that's all Colorado did was they took on the contract and not the player. So, Coach Dan, did you have streamers falling from the sky when Brooks Orpik got thrown away? I know he was not your favorite player.
First of all, the text I sent to you was Orpik and Grubauer, and then I wrote Ton Colorado. So not only was that not the text that I sent, Brandon, but I can't spell.
I'm pretty sure you sent one with at least 16 to 18 exclamation points.
No, actually, that was your response. You said Orpik in all capital letters and then question mark, exclamation point. I was quite shocked. I didn't really think they were going to be able to get out from under that contract. It was only one more year, and I was like, they're just going to screw it. They'll just see what they can do, or they'll buy him out and still have dead cap space. And not only did they not buy him out, they don't have any dead cap space. And they got a second-round pick for him and Grubauer, which I know some people are like, couldn't they get more? I'll take it, because that second-round pick and that cap space is exactly what this team needed to be able to bring back Karlsson and hopefully Kempney and Wilson. And Smith-Pelly looks like it was actually a pretty cheap deal. But now they may have the space to bring back Beagle.
They should. Absolutely they should.
I mean, we know how you feel about Beagle. I'm ready to move on if we had to. But either way, I was quite shocked, and I was definitely surprised. I like their draft picks. We can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Ryan probably knows more about that. I just have one draft player I like, mostly because of his name. I was definitely shocked by the Grubauer and the Orpik deal. So Colorado also felt like they came out of nowhere. Like, is Varlamov leaving or something? Did I miss that part?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Colorado.
Do you know anything? Anything out of Canada about Varlamov? Is he finally getting arrested for being a douchebag?
Here's what I'll say about Semyon Varlamov, who I still think is a very good NHL goaltender. But, you know, the concern with him, obviously, are those dodgy groin muscles that, you know, they always seem to go on him. He's got hip problems. I mean, he's a guy who relies on his athleticism. And obviously he's gotten himself into a bit of legal trouble too. I think that Colorado will probably hold on to him and let Grubauer battle with him. And the most likely place I think that he would get traded to, because let's be honest here, Colorado, they've got a lot of good young players. They're a team that's going to be up and coming and contend for a long time if they keep doing things right. The Islanders really need a goalie. And, I mean, they were sniffing around Grubauer. Obviously, the Capitals probably would have charged them a lot more than they would other teams. And I don't think that has anything to do with Trotz going there. It's just they're in division. And you're right. If it was just Grubauer, you're probably getting a first-round pick for him, like a later first-round pick, if it's just him. But Brian McClellan, just pure wizardry by him to get them to take Orpik and just get a one-round lower pick simply for the cap relief was spectacular. And I'm happy for Grubauer. He deserves a chance to start. But Varley, I think he'll stay in Colorado for this season, but it's highly likely if Grubauer starts to really establish himself, he's a guy that still has played good enough over the last few years that they wouldn't have trouble moving. Buffalo really needs a goalie too. I mean, they're letting Robin Leonard walk. That they don't have a goalie. Ottawa might not have a goalie soon. Craig Anderson wants out. Like, the goalie market's going to heat up a little bit here. What's Florida going to do? I mean, Roberto Luongo's 40 years old.
Wow.
You know, they're not going to have a problem moving Varley. So as of right now, I think the rumor is that he will stay in Colorado for now. But I wouldn't be surprised if he got moved mid-season if Grubauer takes the reins.
And I wouldn't be shocked if Grubauer did that. He's shown in the last month of the regular season that he can be an NHL starter. Yeah, he had a rough start to the postseason, but the dude's got a lot of talent. We've seen him back up Holpe for how many years now? I mean, he has the talent to be a starter. Hopefully, with maybe the leadership in Colorado, he can kind of break that wall and finally be like the legit guy. Over in the West, though. Let's do that. So not in the East. Leave the Caps alone. So, Coach Dan, is this the end of Brooks Orpik's career?
No. I actually, and this is going to go against everything I've said up till this point, I kind of wouldn't be surprised and wouldn't be against the Caps bringing him back. It's got to be at a cheap deal. But I wouldn't necessarily be against him coming back for like 1 year, $1 million. Like, he can have the same deal that Smith Pelly has.
I highly doubt that will happen.
Really? Because a lot of people thinking it's possible. Well, I mean,
I think he might.
I think there's a possibility he comes back.
He could come back. I don't see him taking $1 million deal.
Why? He's getting paid. What the hell is this cap again? He's getting paid a lot of money from Colorado to not play for them.
Right.
So it's like the Smith Pelly thing. Wasn't he bought out by Jersey and so he signed with the Caps at a really cheap deal?
Yeah.
Maybe Orpik does the same thing.
All right, maybe. It could happen.
Or the same thing somewhere else. I don't know.
Let's just say hypothetically, Brooks Orpik does not come back. Who on this Caps roster takes his spot?
That's a good question. I mean, based on this past season, you kind of feel like Bowie it will have first dibs on it. If he, I don't know. I mean, if he struggles, you're going to have a lot of guys in the minors that are definitely going to want to take a shot. You got Lucas Johansson. You have Tyler Lewington. You have, oh my God, I'm totally blanking on the other kid's name.
Connor Hobbs.
Out, man. Thank you. No, there's one other person I'm thinking of, and I'm totally being an idiot right now. Blank.
Jonas Siegenthaler.
He's one. No, there's someone else, and I'm being an idiot. Watch, he's going to end up being like a forward, and I'm going to be 100% wrong in who I'm thinking. there's some other dude. Oh, my God. This is the worst time to forget his freaking name. Anyways, there's a bunch of guys I feel like are going to have the opportunity to try and lay claim to that opportunity, and it better not be Aaron Ness. I feel like that guy's got a million opportunities. I can't figure who it is. Either way, I definitely feel like there's an opportunity for someone to come in, but it makes me a little nervous. If let's say they bring back Michael Kempney, then you likely have Carlson Kemp, some combination of Carlson Kempney, Orlov, Niskanen, Jus, and insert rookie here. So that part makes me a bit nervous.
I don't know if I like that Jus and a kind of unproven rookie, because Jus himself, he's not unproven, but he's less experienced. Let's put it that way.
I do feel like in Jus in the playoffs stepped up and showed that he's got a pair of you-know-whats down there, because he's in the playoffs and Stanley Cup finals. He's going and trying to make moves in a situation where as a rookie, you're kind of thinking he might play a little more conservative. And he was like, screw that noise. I'm going to try and make something happen. I like what we're seeing from Christian Jus. I think he's going to get better and better. And it just makes me a little bit nervous that he might end up playing with another rookie and just that greater margin. Or there's a lot more likely opportunity for error with that. Those lineups being in place.
Right. What about you, Ryan? Is there anybody specifically you know of in potentially the AHL for the Caps, or anybody you think they could bring in free agency that could fill that void?
I don't know that the Caps are going to target anybody in free agency, really, and that's why I'm kind of on Dan's ship here. I do believe that they will bring Orpik back on a one-year deal. The guy can still play, and I mean, you know, he wasn't You guys know this too. He wasn't my favorite Capitals player of all time, but the fact of the matter is he played so well in the playoffs, but it was because they slotted him into an area where it made sense to put him. the veteran guy who was stabilizing back there. He really brought Christian Juice along. That's kind of the reason I think that they'll re-sign him. If they bring him back on a one-year, $1 to $1.5 million deal, I have no problem with that. And the other thing about Orpik is the team knows exactly what they're getting out of him. Todd Reirden really loves this guy. And let's just be honest here, Todd Reirden is the next head coach.
Yep.
We'll dig into that later, obviously. But he knows what this guy's all about. Christian Juice really, you know, developed well this year, like Dan said, with Orpik over his left shoulder there. And he might be a guy outside of that. I mean, like, what, are they going to bring Mike Green back? No. That's a joke, of course. I love Mike Green. He's one of my favorite Caps ever, but he's not coming back. And, I mean, the D market is extremely thin. So I think that that's why Orpik will come back rather than bring a rookie up like Bowie or Siegenthaler. Lucas Johansson will be a guy eventually that plays in our top four. I think his upside's really good. But I don't think that there's anybody on the market that makes more sense to bring in rather than just bring Orpik back, a sure thing for the coaching staff, and let him take that spot again and let a guy like Bowie come in for injury purposes or get some more seasoning as the top pair defenseman in Hershey. That's just my thought.
Well, let's hear a little bit more from you. We had the NHL draft over this weekend. You know a lot of these players from a lot of the Canadian leagues that the Capitals have drafted this time around. So is there anyone specifically that has kind of caught your eye that you've seen before and you're really happy the Caps picked up?
Well, the kid that we took with that second round pick that we got from Colorado, a kid by the name of Cody Clark, he is a very intriguing prospect. He plays for the Ottawa 67s here in the OHL. I got the opportunity to watch him a couple of different times this year. What's really interesting about Cody is he is the son, and that seems to be the trend now. There are a lot of former players' kids getting drafted now, like Christian Juice, his dad played. Cody Clark is the son of a beloved Toronto Maple Leaf legend named Wendell Clark. Now, if you don't know who Wendell Clark is, I need you to go on YouTube and search Wendell Clark Bruce Bell hit. It is the most visceral body check I've ever seen in my life. Wendell Clark was the first overall pick in 1985 by the Maple Leafs. I believe it's the only time they've ever drafted first overall other than Austin Matthews. Wendell Clark is one of the most beloved names. He actually has a farm here not far from where I am right now in Waterloo. Anywhere he shows up around Toronto, Leaf fans kiss the ground he walks on. This guy was an all-around power forward. Seriously, you got to YouTube that hit. It is... like, he knocks Bruce Bell out on the ice. And Wendell was a small guy. Like, it's not like he was a huge dude, but he went out there and was just an absolute wrecking ball. He was such a great power forward. And his kid is sort of in the same vein, a little bit more offensively talented than his old man. But kind of like Max Domi is similar to his dad in this way. He does have a bit of that bite to his game. Not quite as much as his dad. I mean, look up his fights online too. Wendell used to just beat the crap out of people for fun. And he was a small guy. Like, he was tough as nails. Cody isn't quite as, you know, unstrung on the ice. His bolts aren't quite as loose as his old man's were on the ice, but he's a tough kid. He won't back down from people, and I think that he's a guy that, you know, is similar to Tom Wilson, not in that, like, he'll fight people and, like, crush people with hits, but he's gritty and he'll go to the front of the net, and he actually has decent scoring touch there.
All right, very cool. I mean, something to look forward to there. I don't know if he's at developmental camp or not, but they're having,
he is there.
He is there.
I feel like a lot of the young guys are probably going to be there.
How weird is it to be like Shane Gersick right now and be like, look, guys, one day you could be a Stanley Cup champion. And he's like, I am one.
Hey, guys. Guys, me.
Yeah, so they have a developmental camp this week, and then they had the scrimmage on Saturday, and it looks like they're doing a fan fest again. So, I mean, might be able to report a little bit from there on Saturday. There is one guy who actually got picked up by the Rangers that I do want to bring up. I think his name is Andre Miller. He's a defenseman from Minnesota.
And Andre Miller.
K. Andre Miller, yes. And I looked up some of his stats and some of his stuff on YouTube. that kid, I feel as if is going to be, he's going to be a really big star. If the Caps somehow could do a trade, I mean, anything could happen. But like, that's a kid where I'm kind of looking, I'm going, wow, I really would like to see that kid in a Cap sweater one day.
Yeah, he's a really good player. The thing about Keandre is he, in another draft year, he's probably a top 15 pick, maybe even top 10, because of all the things you said. He's a really smooth skater. He did really well at the U.S. National Under 18 development team this year. He had 16 points in 22 games. He's a bigger kid. He's 6'3". He's already 206 pounds. When he fills out at 21, 22, he's probably going to be walking around at more like 215. He's extremely athletic. He used to run track in high school. The kid's a beast. I mean, he's already so big. And as he grows more into his body, on top of being able to skate really well, he could end up being like a Dustin Byfuglien type of player where he's just got that size and skating ability, which could make him really, really dangerous. I don't think the Rangers would trade him. I certainly wouldn't. But yeah, you're right. He's a kid that really sticks out for all those reasons. And I think that he's a little underrated, and some teams that quote unquote passed on him might look back and say, wow, how'd we miss that kid?
Yeah, I was highly impressed, and a lot of these kids I don't know anything about, but when they announced his name, showed some of his highlights, I went, ooh, this kid's going to be like a wrecking ball in a couple years. So I would like him not to be a part of the Rangers in a couple years.
Well, they need him.
They do need him, but man, I don't want to go against that kid in a couple years. But one of the things actually happening up in New York, and not with the Rangers, but with the Islanders, they have a brand new coach. Barry Trotz has left Washington. We talked about that last week, and now he is with New York. Last episode we were talking, is he going to New York? Is he going to the new team in Seattle? We don't know. But, Coach, what does it mean to have Barry Trotz now going to be the guy who ends the Capitals season next spring? Because the Caps' last game in the schedule is up against the Islanders. What does it mean that he's the guy they're potentially going to have to go through to get back to the playoffs?
Well, I'm hoping it won't come to that.
Yes, that's true.
I feel like a team that just won the Cup, I'm sure there'll be a little bit of the Stanley Cup hangover next season, but you'd like to feel like they won't have to be fighting for a playoff spot in the last day. I mean, this whole situation is kind of weird. You win the Cup, and then within, what, 2 weeks, your coach leaves.
And he took a couple of people with him.
Has he actually? I haven't seen it.
Like, Mitch Korn has left, is sticking with him, and who's his assistant who went with
Lane
him?
Lambert.
Yes. Yes. He went as well.
Did they actually go?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd seen that they were like possibilities, but not that he had actually left. Well, that's new. I didn't know that. I don't know. I mean, I'll be all right. I don't think it's quite, we'll see how they do. I think that they pretty much know who their next head coach is going to be. It seems like Korn wasn't the day to day guys.
Yeah, he kind of moved on from that.
So I think they'll be all right. I'm not overly concerned. I think it's a little bit – I mean, maybe you're a little bit annoyed that he went to a team within the division, but it's reality what happened. I don't think this team looked at him as a long-term guy. I think they were lucky to move on from him within probably the next year or two. And I think that they'll be all right. I think playing them the last game of the regular season really only makes a big deal if they are both fighting for a playoff spot. Then there's a real big story there. But they would have already played a bunch of times prior to, so I'm not. I don't think it's going to be as big a deal.
I just think it's kind of dramatic and poetic, the fact that that's who the last game was up against, their former head coach, that is the only coach to ever take the Capitals to the Stanley Cup championship. So kind of interesting to me. So Ryan, everybody's saying it, and it looks like Reardon's going to be the head coach. I actually was really hoping that news was going to break while we were talking, because they're saying, like, you know, a deal could be struck at any moment. What do you think about him being the new head coach? It seems as if the Capitals organization were grooming him to take that spot, and they were just kind of waiting for Barry Trotz to his contract to end. What are your thoughts on Todd Reardon?
I like Todd a lot, and the reason I like Todd a lot is the players like him a lot. All the stuff that you hear from the guys after they won the Cup, and even through the year, being in charge of the defensive core, you know, we just talked about Michael Kempney and how we hope he comes back. Michael Kempney said after they won the Stanley Cup that Todd Reirden basically rebuilt his game. He had no confidence coming away from Chicago. He was a guy that clearly had skill there and was down on himself, and Todd Reirden took him aside, sat him down his first week in Washington before they put him in a game, and said, here's some video of what you've been doing well. Here's some video that you can work on where, hey, you need to just make a simple play here. And, you know, if you make a mistake, no big deal. That's the type of thing that, you know, defensemen especially need, just to, you know, have somebody sit down with them and rejig their way of thinking, because it's so critical in this league now with how quick the play is through the neutral zone to be able to get pucks out of your zone quickly. And if you've got guys back there that don't have that high-end skill level, that are trying to do way too much with the puck, that's what gets you in trouble. And that's what was happening with him in Chicago. He felt pressure to have to try and do so much on a struggling team. And he comes over, and Todd Reirden sat down with him and basically rebuilt his game to fit what the Caps needed. And it worked brilliantly. John Carlson said the exact same thing. I went to another level when Todd and I started working together. I mean, look at what's happened with Dmitry Orlov over the last couple of years. Matt Niskanen really likes him. And all the players seem to really enjoy him too. You know, does it suck that Barry Trotz left? I mean, I guess so. Like, I'm not brokenhearted over it. It's a little bit sad to see it shake out that way. I mean, I remember saying last year I thought that they should have fired him. And, you know, I guess I'll issue a personal apology to Barry. I mean, but, you know, he got it done. He proved me wrong, and I couldn't be more happy to be wrong. But the fact of the matter is this. Like, look, he's the head coach. Guys really, you know, got along under him, but they're going to get along under Todd. It's not like they're bringing in some unknown voice or something like that. I think that the team will be able to just keep on doing business as usual. I wish Barry all the best. He's got a hell of a situation to try and clean up in New York. They can score, but they cannot defend, and they don't have a goalkeeper that can stop a beach ball. So, I mean, best of luck to him. But, you know, all these fans, you know, like, I was getting messages from people being like, oh my God, what a disaster that they let him walk and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, did Barry Trotz score a single goal? Like, you know, people were freaking out like this guy was like the only reason they won the Cup, and that's simply not true. Did he do a great job? Yes. But like, at the end of the day, the Caps won the Stanley Cup, boys. I'm so excited. Like, I'm sitting here with a beer right now. Like, I'm so pumped to just sit here and drink it in every day. I wake up every day and look at Kate, and I'm like, the Washington Capitals are Stanley Cup champions. I just got a freaking tattoo of it, man. Like, I'm so over the moon that they won the Cup. I'm not sitting here going, oh, Barry, no. I wish them all the best. Thank you for what you did here. I think Todd Reirden's going to do a great job, and that's all I really have to say about it.
Have you tweeted out a picture of your tattoo?
I have. Yeah, I tweeted out, and I put it on Instagram too. It's up there.
All right, I'm gonna have to check that out, because I have not.
I think you'll enjoy it.
I have not scheduled my tattoo yet, but I am also going to be getting one. So
good lad.
Yeah.
Do you have to schedule to get them done?
Well, you need an appointment. Yes, you can't just walk in.
I don't. You can walk in. I don't have one.
You can walk in, but I mean, like, generally walk-ins depend on how busy the shop is and how big the tattoo is. For the size of mine, yeah, like, for the size mine was, I had to book an appointment.
All right, so there you go, Coach. Make an appointment, and we can all have matching tattoos.
Nope.
So, Coach, let me ask you this before we get into the what the puckies. Let's stick talking about Todd Reirden here. You know, what Ryan just brought up about the defensive players, how he helped Michael Kepney's game out. I mean, that's huge. That's absolutely great. But what does it mean to have a defensive-minded coach with one of the biggest goal scorers ever in Alex Ovechkin? How is that going to affect his game?
I don't imagine it affecting his game too much. I mean, he's worked with so many coaches before, and he's always been able to score goals. So I don't imagine. I feel like if they go with Reirden, the team is not going to change to a dramatic point.
Right, because he knows the team already.
It's not going to go different. You know, it's not going to be like going from Hunter to Oates. You know, I do think it's going to be less dramatic. I think Reirden's the guy they've always wanted to go with to replace Trotz. It just happened a little sooner than they were expecting. But, you know, there's other teams that have tried to reach out and talk to Todd Reirden before, and the Caps have been like, nope. So I'm not surprised at all that this is the avenue they're likely going. They haven't announced anything, obviously, but I'm not at all surprised that he's going to be their guy. And I don't think it's going to change the team dramatically from the way they've been playing, provided that they're able to keep up their play.
Anything else we should talk about before we do our What the Puckies?
I mean, I'll just say this one last thing about Barry Trotz. For everybody that's going, oh, the Capitals, they mishandled this. How could they let him walk? He just won the Stanley Cup. Well, Barry walked away from them. If you really know how this deal crunches down, they signed him to that four-year contract. And at the time of signing, they optioned in a two-year team option where if Barry won the Cup at any point during that 4 years, they could extend him 2 years with a $300,000 pay raise. He was making $1.5 million. If he had stayed making $1.8, he would have been the cheapest paid coach to win a Stanley Cup in the league, right there with Randy Carlyle. Now, Randy Carlyle won the Cup like 11 years ago, but with Anaheim, who are a budget team, Randy Carlyle believes making around $1.79. You know, with other guys that have won the Cup, look at what Joel Quenneville's making, Mike Babcock, you know, guys like Daryl Sutter when he was with the Kings. Barry, to his credit, wanted a bigger payday. He probably deserves it. The Caps had this option. And if you're sitting there with an option to pay a guy less in any line of work, are you not going to do that? Like, this is sports. Like, you know, it's not like Barry and Brian McClellan were best friends. There was rumors of friction for the last couple years over certain players being used. The fact of the matter is this. The guy had an option that the team extended, which was their right. He signed that deal knowing that this was a possibility. It happened. He didn't like it and wanted to leave and make more money. All the power to him and all the power to the Caps for going, no, look, we have an agreement here where we can pay you less. Both guys, both sides stood up for themselves, and I have no problem with it. And that's all I have to say.
What about you, well, Coach? Said. Yeah, I agree.
Any last comments? There's a funny tweet that came out recently. It's not at all about Trotz. Because Caps developmental camp has started, and it looks like first-round pick Alexander Alexeyev scored the winning goal. This is from Tom Galiti from NHL.com. He scored the winning goal in the final Caps development camp 3-on-3 tournament. They get a trophy, and apparently Galiti asked him if he was going to be celebrating tonight, and he said, we will see. I don't think we'll go in the fountains. So I already like this kid because he's got jokes, and it's pretty funny. I think he even was talking to Ovechkin on like FaceTime and made a fountains joke. So I yeah. already like this kid. I like the other second-round pick, Martin. I'm going to say this wrong, but Fehervari, and I only like him because his name sounds like something from Game of Thrones. But aside, I mean, he sounds like, you know, he'd be from the north. I don't know. I like these new kids. We'll see how they do. Developmental camp will be fun. I think it'll be ridiculously crowded. And
I hope
it'll be nice for a lot of the young guys to be out there, get to see the Cup, and have all these fans cheering them on.
I've seen the Cup once at an NHL draft where Nathan Walker got drafted, and I didn't touch the Cup. But I'm going on Saturday, and if I get to see it, I'm definitely touching that thing now.
Oh, yeah, you should. You know what's funny, guys? I'll tell you a quick story. Martin Fehervari is the guy you're thinking of there, Dan. And he's kind of interesting. He played in the Allsvenskan, which is the Swedish Elite League second tier.
Don't ruin my fun, man.
He's good. I really like the kid. And then, obviously, you mentioned Alexeyev. What a great story around that kid. I mean, you know, he had an injury-riddled season with Red Deer in the Western Hockey League up here in Canada. He had some knee issues, and then midway through the season, of course, his mother passed away, and he went back home for a little bit, of course, and came back and went on a great scoring streak. He put up 37 points despite having injury problems and being away for a few weeks to be with his family, and then he breaks his finger heading into the playoffs. Now, Red Deer wasn't very good this year. They made the playoffs and got bounced in five games. He had 5 points in those five games with a broken finger. I think the kid's awesome. I'm really happy that he's a Capital. But yeah, and you talk about touching the Cup. At Christmas last year, just this past holiday season, Kate and I had actually just started dating. And the first date I took her on was to the Hockey Hall of Fame up here in Toronto, where they have the cup on display. And like, you can take pictures with it and stuff in the big trophy room where they keep all the trophies. And she went right up and wrapped her arms around it and got me to take a picture of her. And I was like, oh, what have you done? Like, that's horrible. And she just kind of giggled and was like, oh, you know, it's, well, it, this is all I want for Christmas. And we kind of had a laugh together, you know, when it all shook out and they won, she texted me and was like, I told you so. And I was like, hey, you're obviously a good luck charm. So, you know, you go ahead and grab that thing, Brando. I mean, we deserve it. We've suffered enough. And hey, oh, they're Stanley Cup champions. Amazing.
You're a very good man for after she wrapped her arms around it, you just didn't go, all right, well, this has been fun. It's over. Goodbye.
No. Yeah. No, it was funny.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our What the Puckies. It's the end of the year awards, so stick around. But before we get to our What the Puckies, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It is time. It is the What the Puckies. I hope you have your tux on or an evening gown. It is time to give out our end of the year awards. Coach Dan, he's ready to pop some champagne. He's a big drinker. We all know it.
What? I was looking to do something that could be like a Foley sound, but I got nothing. You're like, I got nothing.
All right, so let's.
Sorry, guys, ruin the bit. Yeah, I was unprepared for because Brandon didn't tell me what we were doing.
Hey, you got to be ready for anything. Improv, man. That's what
this
we do.
Broadcasting,
here.
Daniel, you got to be ready.
I legitimately cannot think of anything that's in front of me that would make a champagne. I've ruined the bit. Let's move on.
All right. Let's give out our first award. It is the Rod Langway Defensive Player of the Year. Coach Dan, let's start with you. Who is
me?
Your Defensive Player of the Year?
So nice of you. I'm giving my Defensive Player of the Year to Matt Niskanen. I felt like he played really well this season. I think the obvious pick is to go with John Carlos or someone like that. I felt like Niskanen was a solid, not spectacular player. He's a solid guy on the back end. You know, he had his ups and downs like every player, I feel like, throughout the NHL season has. But I feel like he's been a solid rock on that back end for his entire time he's been with the Caps. He is my Defensive Player of the Year.
Good choice. I like Matt Niskanen. Definitely a huge part of the defensive core. Ryan, what about you? Who was your Defensive Player of the Year?
I'm just going to take the easy pick and make it John Carlson. I mean, when Matt Niskanen went down with injury for quite a long period of time, almost a month and a half that he missed, John Carlson stepped in. He played all 82 games. I believe that's the first time in Carlson's career he played all 82. He puts up 68 points, but the biggest thing about him was all of the minutes that he ate up when Matt Niskanen went down. He was leading the NHL in average time on ice for about a month and a half while Niskanen was out. There was a stretch where Orlov had a couple bumps and bruises too, and he stepped up and filled in. There was a stretch there where Carlson was playing the point on both power play units because Orlov was hurt. And then, you know, look what he did in the playoffs. I mean, he took it to a new level this year, which earned him that big 8-year deal. I got to take the easy route here and just make it Johnny C.
I mean, making all those 8-year contracts, I mean, you got to show it off somehow. Always a good choice to go with John Carlson. Myself, Defensive Player of the Year, I'm giving it to Michael Kempney. He is a guy who absolutely shocked me when they traded for him, and he turned out to be such a fantastic player. And like Ryan, like you said earlier in the show, he was coached by Todd Reirden. Kind of he transformed his game, and it's very easy, not just in sports but in life in general, to get knocked down and feel sorry for yourself. And Michael Kapany kind of answered back and was like, you know what? I can do this. I can play with this team. I can get better. And yeah, he made some boneheaded mistakes in the Stanley Cup Finals. But the next game, he came out and he fixed those and looked fantastic. So Michael Kapany, he is my defensive player of the year. So three different guys. I mean, that shows you how good of a team this Capitals team was this year.
That's I agree.
That's very true. Well said.
All right, let's move on. Let's get disappointed. Adam Oates' biggest disappointment of the year.
I was wondering where you were going with that one. I was like, this could end poorly, guys.
Ryan, who or what event was the biggest disappointment of the year?
Well, I mean, for me, it can't be an event, really. I mean, I didn't really have any specific happening that was disappointing. I'm going to go with the guy that I believe I said last year, and I feel bad in doing so because he scored two big goals on the way to the cup. But Andre Burakovsky, again, a very inconsistent regular season, and those injury problems that have been plaguing him for a while now came back to haunt him a little bit. He only played 56 games. Now he had 25 points, so he was a little under half a point per game. But this is a guy, again, I mean, he gets 12 goals in those 56 games, so he's on pace for roughly 18, 19 goals. But again, like I said last year, this is a guy who should probably be scoring 20, you know, with his eyes closed. He is very talented, and he started to show flashes when he came back in the playoffs. He scored those two big goals in Game 7 of Tampa Bay, so I feel a little bad for having to knock on a guy after winning a cup. But yeah, I still am expecting more from this guy, so it's Burakovsky for me.
Gentlemen, can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Yes.
Tweeted 2 minutes ago from Darren Drager. Michael Kempney won't be leaving Washington. Sources say he's agreed to a multi-year deal despite outside interest to stay with the Caps.
Oh, I love it. Well, great.
I guess he found out he became...
Let the speculation begin!
I guess he found out he won a What the Pucky, so he's like, you know what, I'm staying
he's
in
He's like, I'm coming back! That did it for me.
I'm willing to bet it's a 4 to 5 year... $3 to $3.5 million deal.
Wow.
I am so tempted to go on Cap Friendly and be like, let's see how much it would cost him. Let's see how all this is working out. Really? Because I feel like it's going to be – it probably deserves to be more. What was his last deal?
Hang on.
It wasn't that expensive. I think making just under two.
Was it just – wow, I thought it was way less than that. Cap hit last season was $900,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, do you think they get him for $2 million a year?
That would be fantastic if they could.
Maybe. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Like
11? Are they have about – that's not right. All right, hold on. Cap Friendly says they have $21 million left in cap space. That can't be right. Oh, you know why it's not right? Because I look at the wrong year because I'm an idiot.
I agree.
They have about 12. Shut up, Brandon. They have about 12.2, and then a whole bunch of change. 12.2 million left in cap space. Three could work. You still got to sign Wilson. You still got to sign likely Bowie if he's going to be your sixth guy if Orpik doesn't come back. You still want to sign Beagle. You got to sign Boyd. He probably has a bigger role on the team next season. Chiasson, bye. Yerbeck, bye. And that might be it in terms of like big moves they make. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in, you know, someone off the waiver wire. Maybe they go out and try and give Riley Barber one last shot, I guess. Wow. All right, we'll see where it goes from there. Anyways, Brandon,
yeah.
Back to the show.
That's right. Well, it's going to you. Who or what happened making you – let me start that over. Let's go back to you then, Coach Dan. Biggest disappointment of the year. Who or what happened?
Now, we didn't plan this in advance. Mine is Madison Bowie.
Okay.
I felt like he was going to be the man. Not the man. I thought he was going to be good. I was less excited about Christian Juice than I was about Madison Bowie. I thought this guy was going to come up. And I didn't think he was going to go out there and be rookie of the year or anything like that. I don't remember if he was ineligible. But I thought he was going to be, you know, a very solid bottom pairing defenseman, and like ready to move, you know, solidify his spot and be a great third pairing defenseman. And he just didn't do it. He had moments. There were moments you were like, oh, I see why they think that. And then you saw moments you were like, dear God, please get him off the ice. And I feel like there were a lot more of the second one than the first one. So mine goes to Madison Bowie.
Well, I hate to do this to the kid.
Uh-oh.
But
uh-oh.
My Adam Oates biggest disappointment of the year is also Madison Bowie. Like you said, he had a very uneven season. I got a little discouraged with him when he came out for his first game and came out very flat-footed. But I guess at the same time, you can say that is jitters for being your first game. But I would think, you know, you've been playing in North America for how long? That wouldn't happen. But again, it is the NHL. Everybody can get those butterflies. But the fact that he didn't really finish the season with the Capitals, he went back to Hershey after the trade deadline, and Jerebeck and Kepney came in, really showed you that he potentially was not ready to come up to the big leagues just yet. So that's my biggest disappointment of the year. I also want to add in, if we're going to talk about biggest disappointment as in an event or something, Nathan Walker being put on waivers and claimed by Edmonton. I was really bummed out that day.
That was a bit of a bummer, but it was also kind of like it was a cool story, and we were losing that story more so than his play, I felt like.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was sitting for so much. I felt like this kid can be really good if you let him play. And he wasn't getting allowed to play. So he went to Edmonton, but all ended well because he's a Stanley Cup champion now.
Yeah, it's a weird season for him.
Yeah, I mean, go to Edmonton for like 3 weeks, come back to D.C., go to Hershey. I mean, the kid's been all over the place, but still doing it with a smile on his face. So I like the kid. So Nathan Walker on waivers and Madison Bowie are my biggest disappointments of the year. Let's move on to surprise of the year. I'm going to start this one off. Here I am. I'm gonna eat my words. Surprise of the year.
Whoa.
Lars Eller.
Whoa!
Yes. As you know, I have been on this show for many years and said that Lars Eller was not my favorite player, that I didn't know why we signed him to a 5-year deal. I didn't think he was worth it. And then he comes out, he shows how he can be pretty versatile when Nick Backstrom goes down. He can move up a line. He's got the series, the winner of the Stanley Cup Finals for the Capitals. He makes that goal. It shows how much of a good, versatile player he can be. So surprise of the year for me, Lars Eller. I'm very happy to be wrong about him. So, Coach Stan, what about you?
I feel like me giving credit in one of these things to Orpik, everyone would be like, what's happened to him?
I think next year we should rename one of the categories the Brooks Orpik Defensive Player of the Year, just to tick you off.
Settle down, Brandon.
All right, Coach Dan, surprise of the year. What is your pick?
Oh, my surprise of the year. It's already gotten one award tonight. Man's getting two, and he might get a third if this deal turns out to be true. Mine is Michael Kempney.
Oh, my goodness.
He came out of nowhere, both literally in a trade. I didn't see that one coming. And I thought he came on, and I was like, all right, cool. They got this guy. He'll be a decent defenseman, play on third pairing. Dude stepped up and did exceptionally well for the Capitals on their way. And it still feels weird to say this, to be a Stanley Cup champion, Washington Capitals. I thought Kempney was a fantastic pickup, another great move. He was a huge surprise for me. And definitely, when we were writing down my notes, Kempney's name came first. He's definitely my surprise of the year.
I agree with you. I mean, that's why I gave him Defensive Player of the Year. He came out of nowhere. So, Ryan, surprise of the year, who you got?
Oh, it's got to be Devontae Smith-Selly for me. I mean, the guy comes over like, man, this is what's so great about the Caps winning is – all the great stories on the team, and it's like that for most teams, but just this team seemed to be littered with them, just so many cool stories in so many different directions. But this is, you know, a classic ultimate sports adversity story. I mean, the guy was brokenhearted to leave Montreal. He gets to New Jersey and can't seem to find his way. They buy him out. Like, your confidence level as an athlete's got to be at an all-time low. He comes to the Capitals on a PTO. They sign him to a minor league contract at $650,000. They sign him to a league minimum contract. He scores 7 goals in the regular season, but, you know, really started to gel with guys. he was that glue guy in the locker room that everybody really liked to hang out with. He really carved himself a niche within this group. And then in the playoffs, this guy just went freaking bananas, and he did the majority of that on the biggest stage in the Cup final. I will never, ever forget sitting at work covering an election and seeing Devontae Smith-Pelly fly through the air and sweep that puck past Marc-Andre Fleury. That was just incredible. I mean, nobody had this guy making an impact on any roster in the NHL, let alone a Stanley Cup champion. He's got to be my surprise of the year. I love the kid.
I love all these different picks coming in. This really, I mean, I'm going to miss when already some people have left. I'm going to miss a lot of these players and coaches and what they made up for this year, because, man, it really was such a great group. Let's move on to – this is Ryan's favorite category, favorite name category. The Jaromir Jagr, biggest waste of cap space. So, Coach Dan, let's go with you first. Who was your Jagr biggest waste of cap space?
I don't know how you guys are going to take to this one.
Uh-oh.
I kind of had a hard time coming up with it because my usual go-to guy isn't on the team anymore.
Well, you can still award it to him.
I know, but he actually did well, and so I felt like it would be kind of a cheap shot at this point to go with Orpik.
Is this the category we should name after him next year?
Oh, I mean, it kind of fits because there wasn't really a cap when Jagr was here.
Right.
But F Jagr, so I kind of still want to have one named after the guy. Jeez. But anyways, we can do – oh, you know what? The disappointment should be Jagr because that really was supposed to be a big – okay, we're getting off topic. My biggest waste of cap space has to go – I don't know how you guys are like this. Mine's going to Andre Burakovsky.
Wow.
I just – for the money he's making, I need more. I got to see more in the kid. Last season, you know, he only played 56 games. He was injured for a while. That's fair. I'm not going to hold that against him. But for the money he's making, I need more than 25 points. 12 goals, 13 assists. I need to see more from him. He had 2 power play goals, only 4 power play points all season. I need to see more from the kid, and we're not getting it. For $3 million, let me double check that real quick, but I believe his cap hit $3 million. He's a restricted free agent after this season. I need to see more from him, or I don't know if he needs to come back the following season.
It is interesting because in the playoffs, he was benched after he came back from injury because Barry Trotz said, we have no time for you to get better. You just need to be better. So they benched him as a healthy scratch when he came back and didn't perform the way he should. So, I mean, it makes sense. I kind of hear where you're coming from. Guess we'll talk. I'll take this one. My Jaromir Jagr biggest waste of cap space. I'm giving this one to Jakub Jerebek because he was brought in at the trade deadline. He wasn't that big of a cap space hit, but he was brought in because they wanted to strengthen the defensive core. And then he got benched the majority of the playoffs for Christian Juice, who I have to assume was a way cheaper player anyway. And he really had something to prove for himself. So that's why we're not going to see Jerebek on this team next year, is because a guy like Christian Juice outperformed him and is a little bit cheaper. So that's my pick for the biggest waste of cap space. What about you, Ryan? Who was your biggest waste of cap space?
Well, both of yours make sense. I mean, Dan's, if you want to go on guys that are currently still on the roster, you're right. I mean, how many years have we said it now? Andre Burakovsky needs to do a lot more. Those 2 goals in Game 7 don't forgive. Very lacking numbers in a number of regular seasons now, and he's got to stay healthy. Jerebek, I guess, makes sense only in the sense like he didn't take up very much room.
Right.
But basically, none of his salary went to much success on the ice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I know I don't want to kick the guy, you know, on the way out the door, even though I think he might come back. Like, it's got to be Orpik. Like, because if you consider, again, like I said last year, and I feel awful, like, he played so good in the playoffs. He was an absolute warrior. Like, he took so much punishment. He had his nose broken in that Tampa Bay series off of another dirty hit from behind that should have been a suspension, but I digress. You know, for $5.5 million, like, yes, he played on the third pair. He did well bringing Christian Juice along. He blocked a lot of shots. He did a lot of, you know, good down and gritty things that those veteran leaders do. Is that worth $5.5 million? Like, I don't think so, you know? So in the grand scheme of things, if you want to talk about actual dollars that were consistently on the ice, $5.5 million. Like, I know last year I depressed both of you when we were on Cap Friendly talking about guys that were in that pay range that are way, way better players in all three areas of the ice. I don't think a guy being that effective in one end of the ice, his own end, is worth $5.5 million. That sucks to say because the guy's a Stanley Cup champion. But, I mean, in terms of the biggest waste of dollars relative to what he probably should be getting paid, I gotta go with Orpik.
Understandable, understandable. You're making all these good points. I agree with you right there. All right, Ryan, sticking with you here. You're the prospect guy. You know the up-and-comers. Next award is the Skipjack Prospect of the Year. Who are you giving this award to?
Well, I don't want to, like, you know, seem boring here, but I got to go with Ilya Samsonov again, the kid I said last year. I mean, I'm so excited that he's coming over to play in Hershey. I've said it for a couple years now. He is definitively, I would gamble my right arm with my tattoo on it, he is the best goalie not playing in the National Hockey League right now. Absolutely great athleticism. I can't call him a raw talent because he isn't raw. He already has so many tools that it's going to make him an effective pro hockey player. He already was. He was the starter on a very good KHL team in Metallurg Magnitogorsk. He's a Gagarin Cup champion.
Was that this year or was that last year that they won?
That was last year that they won the Gagarin Cup with former Washington Capitals superstar Alexander Semin.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Semin did nothing in those playoffs, by the way. No, but this
Shocker.
Kid, yeah, this kid has been getting it done. I mean, at the World Juniors on some suspect Russia teams, he kept them in the tournament for long stretches of time. This kid is so good. He's 6'3". He's a little over 200 pounds. He's got all the big tools that you want in a modern-day goalie. His post-to-post play is better than any prospect in the net in the NHL. He covers so much of the net effectively. You're going to see it next year in Hershey. Maybe it takes him a bit of time to adjust to the ice surface a little bit, but I think he's not going to have a huge problem with that. He's used to North American ice from some World Juniors tournaments. I love Ilya Samsonov. You guys know that. And he's got to be my prospect of the year.
That dude is 6'3"?
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Woo.
Man, that's a brick wall you're going to be hitting against that instead of the net. Wow, that's a big dude. All right, Coach Dan, Skipjack, prospect of the year. Who you got?
So I don't know as many of the prospects. I think Ryan's our go-to guy when we're talking prospects, but I have to give mine to, and I'm going to say his name wrong, Axel Janssen-Fjällby. And the only reason I say his name and probably again wrong is that dude's got some crazy hair. Like that dude's hair, it's like Thor levels of hair I've got going on right now. I'm excited to see this kid come over. I'm reading a lot of good things about him. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is he going to be at developmental camp?
I think he is there, yeah.
Yeah, so, he is there.
It's hard to know which guys are which at developmental camp unless you really know the young guys because it's not like they're really recognizable. That dude, I feel like he's going to stand out. Again, if for any other reason, it's going to be his hair. But I'm excited to see what this kid can do. I think if there's someone that's going to surprise and potentially make this roster next season, I think that would be kind of fun. And he has an opportunity to make the roster. They signed him with a pretty decent-sized cap hit for a young guy, $860,000 for the next 3 years. I think it'd be fun. And he's got a cool name. Good luck putting on the back of a jersey, though.
My Skipjack prospect of the year, I don't know. I feel as if I might be breaking a rule here. But I'm going
to pick Ovechkin.
I'm picking Nathan Walker. Technically, he still is a prospect. He made some history, you know, first Aussie to get an NHL goal, first Aussie to get a point in the playoffs, first Aussie to get a Stanley Cup, but he spent the majority of his year in Hershey. He traveled to Edmonton, got waived, came back to the Capitals. He's been in the system for a couple years now. Like I said, I saw him get drafted, but guy made a lot of history for not getting a lot of ice time in the NHL. So to me, like, he could still start next season in Hershey. So to me, that's still a prospect. So I'm giving the prospect of the year to Nathan Walker. I broke a rule, but I don't care.
Interesting.
I love that. I think it's fine. And Dan, I got to give you props, man. You nailed Axel Janssen-Fjällby, man. You crushed that.
Nice.
You hit it right out of the park. I like him a lot, too, not just because of his Thor hair, but this kid had a really impressive year playing for a really well-established Sweden team. They're called Djurgården, and he had 16 goals in the regular season, and then he went off in the playoffs. Like, they only played 11 games and got eliminated in the second round, but he had 6 goals and 8 points in those 11 games. Like, he is a big kid, and he's got a really, really deceptive release. I think that he could potentially end up being like a sneaky future top 6 forward. I really like the way he plays the game. And I mean, hey, it helps that his hair looks cool and he's got a cool name.
I like it. Spell
Djurgården. No looking it up.
Beer garden. I can spell beer garden.
No, not beer garden. You ruined my fun. Go to the next one.
Fine. Next up is the holy jumping goal of the year. Coach Dan, let's start with you. What is your holy jumping goal of the year?
So I remember thinking during the season being like, oh, that was a really nice goal. That's got to be my what the pucky at the end of the year. And then we get to the end of the year, and I can't remember for the life of me what it was. So that one's out the window. I went ahead and I chose a pretty obvious one for my goal of the year. It's going to Lars Eller to win the Stanley Cup. That is what has to be the biggest goal in Capitals history. And it was almost one where I remember celebrating kind of because I was so shocked that he scored. It kind of reminded me of the Chimera goal against, I want to say, the Rangers?
Yeah.
In the playoffs where it got behind Lundqvist. But there's no real great camera angle on it live. And so you just like the puck goes and you see him celebrating and you're like, how do you do that? But it easily is the biggest goal in Capitals history to get them their first Stanley Cup. So my goal of the year has got to be going to Lars Eller.
Good choice. I mean, how do you not pick that one? Oh, this is how. I'll tell you right now.
Oh, all right. Throwing it down.
My holy jumping goal of the year does come from the regular season, and it is Jakub Vrana's Stadium Series game goal. It was his first goal in 25 games. He had been struggling for a little bit. He had been benched a little bit, and then he comes out. Looks awesome in those Stadium Series jerseys.
No, don't. You're just trying to piss me off now.
Main reason, yes. But also, he scored a great goal, looked great doing it. And I think that goal really kind of turned his season around. And that holy jumping goal of the year goes to Jakub Vrana. Why he looked great doing it.
No, don't start, man.
I'm just saying. Good
just
looking.
Trying to get me angry.
I hope those jerseys are like half off at the... the fan fest on Saturday because I'm buying you one.
That's I feel like now that we have, I'm like, I don't want one, but now that we have it recorded, I kind of want you to do it just because you're making me spend the money.
All right, Ryan.
Like almost just.
No, no.
Spite you.
All right, Ryan. Holy jumping goal of the year. What goal is your choice?
Well, can I just say, obviously, the Eller one, that's, I mean, yeah. How do you go wrong there? The Verona one you said, Kate was actually there to see that live. She drove all the way from Canada to see the outdoor game against Toronto and saw that live. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And Jakub Vrana, like, is he alive? Like, you know, he freaking like.
Fair question.
Oh, my God. Like, I thought he was going to, like, turn up in, like, a gutter in downtown D.C. or something. Like, that kid was going hard. I love it, man. Yeah, it was funny. I'm going to cheat a little because there's two that really stick out for me. The regular season one, like, Dmitry Orlov turned the entire Dallas Stars team inside out. Like, I feel like it was December-ish. Like, he absolutely dangled a lot of pretty good players. That was such a nice goal. Playoffs, like the Eller goal is an easy one, obviously. Kate just walked down here. She's giving me the eyes. Like, are you on the Capitol show? Yes, I am. The playoff one in game 7 of the Tampa series, I sat and watched the game at my buddy Brandon's place. When Ovechkin scored that absolute clap bomb a minute in, I was like, dude, that's it. Like, we're going to win the cup now. I love it. But the Kuznetsov goal against Pittsburgh.
Oh, good one.
That's the one that nailed it down. Classic koozie move too. He is so good at doing that little shoulder shuffle and sliding at five hole. Like it looks so simple, like to, you know, the untrained eye, but that is such a hard goal to score with how big goalies are now, because you need to, first of all, get the goalie to bite on the fake. And then you need to have the presence of mind to, when the legs open up just enough, you have a small window to slide that puck in. And up until that point, obviously later eclipsed by the Eller goal, up until that point, that was the biggest goal in Capitals history. And I just love that he did the Eagle celebration after and pissed everybody off. I think that's great.
if you can really annoy a Pittsburgh fan base and the team at the same time, man, you got to do it. So
it's a good day. You're doing something right.
Exactly. Good choice, Ryan. I like that one. All right. Here it is, the biggest award of the night.
Brandon, I apologize. I need to interrupt with breaking news.
Breaking news.
Yeah. Breaking from 10 minutes ago, but whatever. Isabel Kershuni of the Washington Post can confirm the tweet from Darren Draker. Caps will have their top four defensemen back next season.
Wow.
Love it.
So Kepney's coming back. I love hearing
breaking
that.
Breaking news on a podcast that people will listen to the next day and already know this information.
This will go up in 12 hours. It will be old news at that point, but still.
Go us.
All right, here it is. It's the best picture of the night. It's the big award. It's best drama. It's the Breaking Bad of awards. Let's say that. It is the Peter Bondra. That was a great show, and you missed out on it, Coach. Don't even. It's the Peter.
It's not like I missed out on it. It's not. It's gone. Go. It's out there on one of Netflix, Hulu.
It's on Netflix.
Amazon Prime. Watch movies anywhere. That's probably not right. You know, it's on one of those things.
Vudu. That's another one.
Oh, right. I was like, what?
Yeah. All right. It is the Peter Bondra MVP of the year. I'm gonna head this one off. Gotta go with, oh, captain, my captain, Alex Ovechkin. It is the easy choice. I have tried to veer away from giving Alex Ovechkin the MVP because it is so easy. However, the Capitals went and became the Stanley Cup champions, and Alex Ovechkin turned how he captained this team around. Ever since the beginning, he knew coming into this season there were a lot of people betting against the Capitals to even make the playoffs. We said it on this show at the beginning of the year. We expect the team to be good. We don't expect them to go far. You know, it's a rebuilding year. We'll see what happens. But Alex Ovechkin said it correctly at the beginning. We are not going to be sucked this year. And they weren't. And he inspired this team. He worked great with the young guys. He seems like he had a great relationship with DSP and Alex Chason and Holtby, and it seems as if he really understood what it meant to be a captain this time around. So my Peter Bondra MVP of the year goes to Alex Ovechkin. Coach Dan.
Oh.
Peter Bondra MVP of the year.
Oh, it's the big one now.
Yeah. Drum roll, please.
My. That probably isn't great considering it's right near the microphone. My MVP... got to go to another Russian, Yevgeny Kuznetsov.
Oh, very good choice.
I thought he played phenomenal. I thought he had an amazing season. And I think early on when Ovechkin and some of the other guys are struggling a little bit, not playing quite as well, I thought he tried to carry this team on his back. He's got a new tattoo on his arm. When did that happen, by the way? Anyone else? Like, when did he get the tattoo sleeve thing? That came out of nowhere. Anyways, I thought he had a phenomenal season. I thought he picked this team up in parts on the playoffs. He scored that big goal. He started that play by knocking the puck away from Crosby and then finished it off by putting it past what the hell's his name? Matt Murray in Pittsburgh. I thought Kuznetsov had an amazing season. He is my Peter Bondra MVP.
Can't go wrong there. Ryan, your Peter Bondra MVP of the year. Who you got?
Dan, I love that too, because like, remember last year we were saying like Kuznetsov's got to be a guy that steps up and helps this team push themselves over the limit. He had an unreal regular season. He was sensational in the playoffs. I don't think a lot of people would have batted an eye if he won Conn Smythe with that 32-point campaign. That was amazing. I have to agree with Brandon though, man. Like it's Ovi for me in a landslide. because of some of the things you already said. I mean, the way he captained the team, the way he led, something that all those experts out there, the Mike Milburys of the world, said that he couldn't do, which was BS. We as Caps fans, and I've been watching this team my whole life, we knew what this guy was all about. He's always been excited. He's always been supportive of his teammates. He's always gotten hyped up when his teammates score. He's always been passionate. There were just things about the way he approached certain situations in games that maybe held him back from having more success. But this team all came together around him, and he was the beating heart of it. You know, after they won, like, on my show up here, MWO Sports, like, we had a number of different guests on talking about it. Like, I don't think that there has been a player in NHL history that is a star player that has gotten kicked in the shins by more people than Alex Ovechkin. One, because he's Russian and people don't like that. And they think that these guys come over here and they don't care and they don't want to win the Stanley Cup. They're here for a paycheck and then they'll go back home to Mother Russia. They kick him in the shins over, oh, all he wants to do is score goals. He doesn't back check and blah, blah, blah. There was a play in game five going into the third period, trailing 3-2. One of the defining plays for me. We got a power play early in that third period, and Ovi bobbled the puck at the blue line, and Pierre-Edward Belmar got a breakaway the other way. Ovi came steaming back and made an excellent defensive play to keep the game close, and then they go on and win. And he was doing that all playoffs. The hits that he was laying on people, you know, he only had – I say only. He only had 87 points this year, which isn't his career year. He only scored 49. It still won the Rocket Richard, but it wasn't 50 or 65 like he had that one year. But I think overall it was the best season he's ever played. And I got to tell you, man, when I was at work watching the end of that and just through tears, when he went up and first of all got the Conn Smythe, he turned around and pointed to every one of his teammates, picked it up and couldn't get rid of it fast enough because he wanted the big boy. And when Gary Bettman brought the Stanley Cup out and invited Ovi up to get it, he was screaming with just the ferocity of a lion that finally got its kill. And he turned and screamed at all of his teammates. And then he turned, if you watch the video, he turned and looked right at Ted Leonsis and let out a war cry that would make Attila the Hun shake. And he went up and grabbed that freaking thing, and I thought Gary Bettman's arms were going to come off. Like, he could barely hold on. And when he went and lifted the cup over his head, man, that was the greatest moment of my life. And I have never been happier for a complete stranger. I mean, I have never been happier for someone else's success than when he picked up the Stanley Cup. And he's been the MVP of this franchise since the day he walked through the front door, and he's the MVP this year.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, he's the leader, he's the captain, and the way that he has captained this team this year really says something. I mean, this is absolutely Ovechkin's team, and you know, he led them to this victory. So I'm right there with you. All right, guys, our What the Puckies are over. I think it's time to wrap up the show unless some other breaking news happens in the next 5 minutes. But before we
I'm
get
watching,
out of here,
I'm watching.
All right. Before we get out of here, Ryan, tell people where they can stay in contact with you, where they can hear your show, and where they can reach you on Twitter.
Absolutely. You guys can follow me on Twitter at CKNX. _ Drury. That's Drury. You can follow me there. You can follow my show at MWO_sports on Twitter as well. We got a Facebook page. We post all our episodes up there. Today we just talked to TSN's director of amateur scouting, Craig Button, about the draft and where John Tavares might end up. So we've got lots of big name guests that come on the show and share their thoughts with us. And you can find me on Instagram at Ryan Drury. Pretty standard stuff. I mostly just post pictures with my replica Stanley Cup these days. But yeah, it's awesome. Before we go, guys, like, we should probably pick like our favorite moment of the year. And I don't know about you, but mine was TJ Oshie with his dad. Like,
oh man,
that's
a good one.
That hammered me because you guys know, like, I've been a fan of this team since I was a little kid. And my dad used to sit and watch Caps games with me. Now, he didn't really care at first, but then he became a really big fan. And I lost my dad when I was 19. And when I saw that clip of Oshie with his dad, it hammered me. And I thought that was so cool that he got to share that moment with his dad. And it was really special. Like, this means a lot to these athletes, and I don't think there's a moment that captured that better than when TJ Oshie was out there with his dad, and that was unreal.
Oh man, that's a great one. I definitely have to agree with you on that. Just thinking, like, the best celebration or the best line that I heard, there's two come to mind, except for TJ Oshie and his dad. I agree with you there. That's a fantastic one. But hearing Ovi tell Backstrom that he was going to be the guy he hands the cup off to was huge.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's kind of muffled, and the NHL, I wish they would just put the audio out there without, like, music mixed in, because it's already muffled because they're so close together. But the music makes it kind of hard to hear, but he says, you know, after me, it's you. You get the cup. And the two of them, I mean, they've been through their entire careers together. I mean, when there was a lockout, they came and worked both in Moscow for Dynamo. So you know the two of them are like brothers, and for him to pass that off to Backy as the next guy really, really says a lot. And then the next one I'd have to say is Chandler Stephenson coming out and saying that he was going to take the cup to Humboldt. That story about what happened with the Humboldt Broncos, that affected not just Canada and not just, you know, Canada is so hockey centric, but down in the U.S. as well. I mean, the AHL, the ECHL, the NHL, all of them just came together for this little town in Canada that, I mean, the majority of people probably had not heard of here in the U.S. And for Chandler Stephenson to come out and say, this is a priority for me, for my day that I get with the cup, I'm going to go to Humboldt. I knew some of the guys on the bus. This is going to be important to that town. Really says a lot about Chandler Stephenson, and it says a lot about the hockey community coming together at a time when you really need, you know, friends to lean on. So that was a big one as well for me. Coach, what about you?
Hell yeah.
I can't follow that up. You guys pulling at the heartstrings over there. I'm like, I liked when they won the cup. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's just such a weird season in a way, this whole thing. I'll bring it a little bit. I don't know. Not say more personal, because obviously everything with you guys have been talking about is very personal. But
is
having
it,
to actually see
is it
them
is it TJ Oshie chugging a beer through a jersey?
No, but when I saw that at the parade, I was like, yeah, well played. Nice call. This whole thing has just been so weird. Growing up a fan of DC sports, you know, I was alive when the Skins won a couple of them Super Bowls, but I wasn't really caring as much. You know, I was younger and was like, whatever, I want to play outside. So I wasn't as aware of those things going on. As I got older, I started to get more really like focusing on you know, sports teams, and we just don't have that. You know, I'm a fan of the San Antonio Spurs, but I'm not as big of a basketball fan. So, like, I was happy when they won the NBA championship, but I wasn't like, it wasn't like a huge, huge thing. But to see a local team of mine actually win the whole thing, and win, it's like I'll go back and I'll watch it, and I look at pictures, and like my the picture on my phone is Ovechkin holding the cup, and it's still almost unbelievable to see that happen. And another thing is to see the entire, like, all of the DC. I was just tweeting this out a little while ago, given the news that Wayne Rooney is coming to DC United, that all the DC sports teams kind of coming together as a result of, to some extent, a result of the Capitals winning the cup. You saw the other teams like the Wizards and the Nationals and and DC United, everybody kind of cheering on the Caps as they made their march towards the Cup and actually winning it. And now different teams are coming out and welcoming Wayne Rooney to DC United, sort of the forgotten professional team in the DMV. And just everything that sort of brought this area and this fandom together is kind of one thing that I'll always remember about this.
Nicely said, Coach. I'm pretty sure that's a tear coming down your cheek right there.
Shut up, man.
All right, guys. No. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. You can tell us what your favorite celebration was. You know, honorable mention also to Jay Beagle, the only guy to hoist up the Kelly Cup, the Calder Cup, and the Stanley Cup. That was a pretty great one to see.
Yeah. Definitely deserves recognition. I hope he enjoys wherever he goes to play next.
Yeah, like Kettler.
I mean, he'll be around probably when he signs with another team for a little while.
You can tweet to me.
I don't mind bringing him back. I just don't know. Well, I mean, see, that was before Arpik left. Now I'm like, I don't know. I mean, everybody right now, we still don't have word on the Kempney details aside from it's going to multi-year. But, you know, they have – you have to assume Wilson's coming back. They sent him a qualifying offer. You don't really see NHL teams go out and try and sign a guy to an offer sheet. So I imagine that Wilson's coming back. There was a report a little while ago, not today, it was a couple of days ago, I want to say, that Wilson even came out and was like, I'm expecting to sign a multi-year deal with the Caps, like a long-term deal. I'm not going anywhere.
He's not real shy about a lot of things.
So it's basically they're going to have likely 11 of their top 12 forwards back and 5 of their 6 defensemen. And their Stanley Cup winning goalie. That's pretty crazy.
It's all good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, let's wait and see until the news comes out that Kempney signed like a 10-year, $9 million deal. Then I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, what was the big chant at the parade a couple weeks ago? Back to back. That was the new one. Back to back.
By the way, that was almost cringeworthy because Oshie, like,
was trashed.
No. Well, yeah. But no, the way he just started the chant, I was just like, dude, he doesn't have that. Like, he doesn't have that, I want to say that Ovechkin, when he got up on the microphone, and he has that ability to, like, get a crowd going. Oshie just doesn't have that.
By just saying, what's up, babes?
Yeah.
I love that. That was so great. That was so fun, man. I'm glad they're having fun. They deserve to have fun. We deserve to keep having fun. I'm going to do that. And, boys, like the captain said, in closing, we definitely were not suck this year.
Exactly.
There you go.
All right. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. Coach Dan, you could tweet to me at Brando Cash. Where can people tweet?
No, I don't want
to. You better. But where can people tweet to you at?
You talk to me, fine. Don't talk to Brandon. Brandon sucks. No. You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals stuff. Less now because there's not a lot going on, though I say that as I'm continually updating Twitter to be like, how many years is Kempney getting signed for and how much money? You can find out I'm talking about cap stuff. You can see me talking about Wayne Rooney coming to DC United, which is exciting, even though I don't care about Manchester United or Everton really, but it's a big deal. Brandon, this is soccer that we're talking about.
Oh.
It's where you kick a ball with your foot. But and it's not shaped like an egg, so don't worry about it. It's a thing that Ryan and I like. It's okay.
Huh.
You see us talking about us because there's more than one of me talking about Wayne Rooney, DC United, Arsenal, and the moves that they're making with Unai Emery. Look like we got two new guys coming in pretty soon. World Cup stuff from time to time. I haven't really caught many of the games because I'm always at work.
Dan, who do you think is going to win the World Cup? Real quick.
Dude, I haven't watched any of the games because I'm really busy in the summer, as both of you found out last night when we were supposed to record. So,
yes. Give me somebody.
USA. Sorry.
Okay, A, screw you, Brandon. B, I don't know. Like, Germany was everybody's favorite, and then, yeah.
They gone.
So, they're out. I don't know. That's a good – who – I don't think it's going to be Argentina. Spain, I feel like, is a safe choice right now. I think England will get past Colombia, but they're not going to win it. I swear to God, if they win it because of Harry Kane, I'm going to be like both kind of happy and pissed at the same time because I don't like him. I don't know. I don't know. Who do you got? I don't know.
That's I got crazy. Belgium. I'm on the Belgium what? Train.
How many drinks have you had this evening?
Dude, they're a really good team. They got great chocolates, too.
Yeah, that's true. I'm on their side.
No, I like Belgium.
How you win by eating chocolate. I feel like that's actually the opposite.
No, I know. I think Belgium will win because, you know, they're in the midst of their golden generation. They have no weaknesses in their lineup. And every single player in their starting 11 is either very, very good or world class. I love their team.
Ryan, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is by any chance are you choosing Belgium because of a certain, I don't know what his position, attacking midfield striker player that they may have?
That might have something to do with it.
Also plays for Chelsea, I wonder.
It might have something to do with it. I love Eden Hazard, but I love all the guys around him too, man. They got Courtois on net. That back three they have is really good. I like Vertonghen. You know, they've got a great midfield, guys that are underrated like Axel Witsel, Moussa Dembele. They got Lukaku up front. I just think that they're good at every position, and they're a team that I look at and go, why the hell not? They're good. That's who I think's going to win.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't know. I would like to be able to see more of the freaking games is all I'd like.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it's, you know, as we've talked about a bit.
Brandon's literally like, oh, yeah, great, Belgium.
It was great when they threw it and then the ball did a thing.
They got good chocolate and beer, so I'm cool with them winning.
Yes.
It's the most important things in the world, coach.
Just shaking my head at you.
That's right.
No. But yeah, Ryan, I hope you guys have enjoyed Olivier Giroud. I do miss him. Anyways. Somehow that was finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you like the show, if you enjoy our rambling I think we actually might pass the amount of time we talked last time. Are we on 2 hours? Holy crap. I still haven't eaten dinner. I'm going to die. Anyways, you can follow, if you like the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post all information about the show, when new shows are coming out, and other funny things that we may find related to the Capitals or the NHL and other interesting things. But Brandon, now that you've woken up from your little nap you had and we were talking about the old footy, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here at Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, Satchel, and sometimes YouTube. All we ask in return is if you please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Don't comment on the YouTube video because, let's just face it, that is just a terrible place to be, the comment section on YouTube. So don't do that. But tell all your friends on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So, Coach Dan, are we going to be back next week talking free agency? I think we got one more week left until things go quiet, right? I think that's
I kind of feel like we've already talked about all their free agent moves. we'll probably come back next week.
Well, this is why it's important to go like us on Facebook to know whether or not we're coming back next week or not.
Who knows?
Ryan, again, thank you so much for joining us on this supersized episode of What the Puck. It's always a joy to have you on the show, man.
Boys, you guys are the best. I love chatting about the Caps with you, especially this year. We're Stanley Cup champions. Keep celebrating. Don't be upset about trots. Just grab another beer. Pour it into your replica Stanley Cup and drink it all in one gulp. We're Cup champions. We deserve to party. Thanks for having me on the show, boys. You guys are the best.
That was the greatest send-off I've ever heard in my entire life.
Cut it right there.
All right, guys, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
All right. Cool.
Beautiful, boys.
Good show.
All right, Ryan, again, thank you so much for taking 2 hours out of your time and talking to us.
I really
hey, man, anything for you guys. I'm always around when you need me. I love chatting with you. And, yeah, I'm going to have to make it down to D.C. at some point this year and hook up with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you. Down. And if you want to go to Hershey and see Samsonov, however you say his name.
I can't go. They'll lose.
Hey, it'll be worth it.
I'm 0-5.
They'll win with him in net.
There you go.
No, see, what's going to happen, because I'm the bad luck charm for the Bears, is they'll go and he'll get hurt.
Yeah, he'll, like, blow his groin out or something, career-ending injury.
Or it'll just be like, he won't play that night, and they'll put in the other people, and I'll be like,
We just need a GoPro on you the entire night, so when that actually does happen, we can get your instant reaction.
You'll see right now, it's just going to be... I don't know if Ryan, you can see what we're doing, but I'm just going to throw my arms up and be like, well, screw it.
Oh man, that's great.
If we're
I know
the show after, like, so after the music's done, then it's us chatting the stupidity again.
I know that, like, I know, Dan, you gotta first of all eat some dinner and finish your love letter to Brooks Orpik.
Settle down. I wouldn't mind having him back though.
You know that Wolverine meme where it's him, like, looking at a framed picture of it's like Wolverine lying on a bed and he's staring at a picture.
No,
I am putting your head on Wolverine's body looking at Brooks Orpik.
No, Brandon.
That is so happening.
Don't start.
I love it.
Look for that on the Facebook page as well.
Dude, I have control. I can just take it down.
You could, but I will have it. It'll be like the beginning of Lethal Weapon 4, where Mel Gibson just keeps putting up pictures of Danny Glover in his underwear. I'm just going to continually just post it, no matter what.
Riggs!
I do like that part. I enjoyed the show. It's a bit disappointing that apparently they didn't go well.